Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the business and economic segment. My name is Kanjengo Kamegulung Kwanyoka. Lamangulunga Kanjengo, Kuala the finest. And it is our daily Monday to Friday. You can call it analysis, you can call it me economically vending. You can call it that, I just come and shout or say whatever, or attack you, or attack myself. Whatever it is, the intention is good. The intention is good. The intention is for me and you to get better. The intention is for me and you to work together. The intention is for us to take over our economy truly and make it inclusive, make it work. Make Namibia a great country and make Africa the best continent in the world. So that is the aim. And as we keep hearing and as we keep understanding, as we keep reading and as we keep understanding certain matters of how things need to be done, we get to realize that Africa is quite behind. Namibia is quite behind. Your village is quite behind. Your constituents and your region are quite behind. So then what do we do about it is the key question. What do we do about it is the key question. Some of us, we keep talking. Some of you keep implementing. And some of you are collaborating. Some of you are making big moves alone. Yes, it's good. All this collective effort lead to us to achieve our economical aspiration. But there is still something that is key. And I want us to utilize it. I'm not, and I put a disclaimer already. I keep putting a disclaimer already to say most of the things that I suggest here are things that I observe that I think they are the best and I think they can work for us. It's not because I'm already walking the talk. No, I'm an economic observer. I am also having my economic flaws, so many of them. And I've also just opened up, or my mind is just starting, is unlocking step by step. And as I learn new thing, as I learn something different, as I learn a new approach, I'm opening up to different ways and different approaches of how we can build our economy, how we can build a better society. I'm also taking certain risk in terms of opening up and hearing new ideas and changing how we do things. I'm willing to move into certain spaces and to excuse myself in certain spaces. And those are some of the difficult moves. And I wish that at the country level, I think we also need to start doing that. So one of the observations I've made in this last week or last weekend is that the preparation of a wedding, it takes a house, it takes a village, it takes so many people to prepare a wedding. Like literally, it takes a whole number of people. It's like a supply chain management and value addition to come to the end product. And I'm not going to call it a traditional wedding because that is not a traditional wedding. I want to correct myself and I'll correct everybody, especially my Oshwambo speaking people. That is not a traditional wedding that you do. It's not a traditional wedding. So don't call it traditional wedding. But I have observed something that interests me in our approach, in our journey to build an economy. How come we are able to get together to prepare a wedding that takes so long? And I'm now referring to a Oshwambo wedding, guys. I do not know how the Tswana do it. I do not know how the Hereros do it, or perhaps the Namas. So excuse me here. But I've observed something very beautiful. In a wedding that the Oshwambo people do, this one that they've adopted, and they are now calling it a traditional wedding, confused people. The process of doing or preparing such a wedding is one of the long process. For those who speak Oshwambo or Vambus, you will understand that it starts with a traditional approach, actually, where the men approach a lady, and the man has to take that lady to the parent, and the parent have to accept. Just look at those steps, and it takes long until the end product is to a marriage. Now, my interest is in the processes and the people that are involved. My interest is in the courage, the collaboration, the preparedness, and the mobilization of resources to make a wedding happen. And I have this question for everybody to say, if we can plan a wedding in such a long, tedious process, we can also plan our economy and come up with the right output. Because I hate weddings, that's number one. I hate events, and I'm using the word hate. Do you know why? Because of the preparation and the resource that I involved. But I have now, for the past 2 weeks, I have looked at wedding. I have attended weddings. Some of them I've attended them online because there are a lot of people. But I've been studying this process of wedding, of getting marriage, and how people come together to make that happen. Then I look at my economy. Then I look at my country. And I'm like, these people are weird. How come they are able to get together, a different family from a different man and from a different wife family? And they come together to prepare to make this thing happen. And how come they cannot work together and build an economy that they want and build a business and create and mobilize capital? No, this is puzzling me. This is affecting me to so many levels. Because I look at what I want to achieve. I look at the ideas that I have. I listen to my friends and I look at them actually trying so many things and doing beautiful work, but they can't move forward because they don't have capital. They are not getting the support. Then I look at how my Vambo tribe or clan prepare a wedding from the first month until the seventh month. How they mobilize resources. And just for a disclaimer, like in a Vambo wedding, you probably get 7 cattle being slaughtered. 7 to 8 or 10 or 12 if your family is very rich. And guess what? These are different family, different houses that are slaughtering a house just for these two people to get married. If we care so much about these two people's happiness, finding happiness and building a home, how come we are not so intrigued, so mobilized to work together to create economical happiness for each of us, for our family? Because in every book that I read, in all these big businesses, they are all family built. They are all family built. So then how come my tribe, how come my continent, we are not building family businesses? It's a question. It's a question that I have. And as I look at more weddings, as I look at beautiful wedding people in helicopters, people taking photo shoots everywhere, hiring cameras, hiring what? And making this event happen for this couple. And I say, why don't we do the same thing to build the businesses, to build the economy that we want, to mobilize the resources for that kid who want to go to university, who want to create a product, who want to start a manufacturing company? How come we don't do that? I need somebody just to tell me, how come we don't do that? So yes, I'm saying it puzzles me. It puzzles me a lot. And it's not because I'm doing it differently. It's just that if you understand, my job is to study economic activities, right? I mean, economic agents in the action and their activities and their behavior to come up with insights, to come up with well-prepared thoughts and observation presented in a certain way that people look at their behavior, they look at what they are doing and say, okay, cool. I will change or I'll go this direction, because studying behavior and trends is something very important in economics. Because if it's about my consumption behavior, if I want to eat better or be a better person, it has to do with my economic behavior, my expenditure, my consumption and things like that, or my investment. So as I keep observing this social trends in my tribe or in my clan or in my ethnicity, whatever you call it, is something very beautiful. I applaud my people for
being so concerned about, for being so concerned about the happiness of these two people. And it's so beautiful that we respect and we love that communion of those two people for continuity of our tribal line or ancestral line or whatever you call it. It's okay. I love that. But as I observe it, I get so puzzled that I am not seeing the same commitment and the same effort coming from us in terms of building the economy that we want. And that's why now in my observation, in my theories and hypothesis, I'm saying that if you can take a look, just walk, step back and look people and look at the people that are in a wedding and look at the process that it took and the days and the month it took and the money and the resources and the cattle. Then you just analyze it deeper to understand, like, so my people can actually work together to make something happen. They can make something happen. So then why in your village there is a house which is, does not have food? Why we have kids in our village that can't go to school because they cannot afford university? They can't go to VTC because they can't afford. So it's now about looking at that. We are so concerned about the happiness of a communion for these two young people to get married and form a family. But then who disconnected our understanding that happiness in hunger cannot exist? Our ancestors have said it, that there is no, it's not possible, that the poverty and death are the same. So in other words, it means happiness cannot exist in the absence of adequate resources. So it means that we have to complement this marriage with some good economic progression among our people. Beautiful people. So we have to come at this understanding that if we can get to such a level to start an event that it takes 6 months to 7 months. And remember, these people even started from a dating process, get introduced to their family, and they go through so many processes. How come when you get a wedding invitation, you go? How come when you get an invitation or as a plea for you to give me a car or for you to pay for a groom or to pay for what? What is it? The bridesmaid or the groomsman, you get to contribute the 2,000. But when I say that I have a business, I have an idea, give me the 2 grand, you're not giving me. And I'm not offending or insulting anybody. I just wanted to unlock your mind a bit that I'm looking at our contribution and what we are able to do to make a wedding happen. That actually could be the same thing, the same approach we can use to build our economy. Starting at the constituency level or a household level. Because in a house where there is only one graduate in a family, they can marry 2 people or 3 people or 4 people. And in that house where there is no one own a business, they can contribute to a house where there is a wedding. So look at it. Look at it. It's weird. But we are hungry. But we are not progressing. So I think it's a beautiful methodology or approach that we have in our Vambu culture, Nama culture, Heron culture in making weddings happen. And I don't think it's just in the Vambu. Maybe, I don't want to say it's in every tribe, but I know all of you organize long weddings. I was just referencing the Vambu because I know more. And I don't want anybody to come and challenge me and say we don't do that. No, this one I know. And I'm saying it's actually a good model. In economics, we look at models. We develop different models to see which one work. We come up with different theories and hypotheses to see which one work. That's what we do. And I'm looking at the model of the wedding in my northern tribes. how it get to be started, and the resources and the commitment from different families that never met and they do not know each other, but they come together for a collective goal to make two people get married. Just two. It's not even like they get to marry 20 people. No, they are coming together just because one dude say he likes a girl and you want to marry the girl. And many families come together to slaughter a cow. Some are paying $2,000 for a dress of a groomsman or a grooms, whatever those people you call them, or bridesmaid, yes. So then I look at every little thing that gets to be done during that process, and I come to this realization that this is a beautiful model that if all of us wake up and take a step back and look at it, let us adopt it in our economic building. I think it's dope.
So I think we should pause and just actually interrogate it or look at it. Like if you look at what it takes, as I said, what it takes, the resources involved and the coordination, the preparedness and the involvement of people, of so many people, of different families. And those different people and different families represent the diversity of Namibia. So it means we can literally build our economy involving everyone. And at the end of the day, during this celebration, like for the Shwamba people, it takes like 2 days. Like, yeah, at the girl's house and also at the man's house. And again, another very important thing about this wording is that it feed the villages. It feed everyone who come by. Like food and drinks are prepared for everybody to participate. So meaning when you are slaughtering these cows, you are slaughtering for people, for your friends and for those that you expected to come. So when we are talking about inclusivity, defining an inclusive economy, is that there is no discrimination in a wedding. When it comes to food and drinks, almost everybody get to eat unless they don't really, really perhaps want, I want to do the bad, you will eat. So the most important component, the most important part is that if you look at the parts that are being arranged, if you look at the number of people who comes, because in a wedding in my clan, in my village, where I'm from, nobody stop you to go to the wedding, actually. Like the kids go, everyone goes to the wedding. They get to participate. There are celebrations. So that's what I'm saying, that we need to pause a bit and look at everything that is involved to make a wedding happen or to facilitate the marriage or the celebration around the marriage. And that's why in my suggestion today, in my hypothesis to say, how about we look at this process and we look at this whole approach of arranging and planning a wedding, and we can adopt some of those things, beautiful things, beautiful aspect about it, to build our economy, to reconstruct our economy in such a way, to coordinate ourselves in such a way, to involve everyone in such a way, to mobilize resources for these particular people who have shown interest and commitment to be together as one person. Why don't we do the same thing to those who have committed and shown valuable features about entrepreneurship? Why don't we mobilize resources together and collectively as we do for weddings, for manufacturers and innovators? Why don't we choose or listen and open our doors to those young people who are coming to us that they have a product or they have an idea in IT, in telecommunication, in manufacturing, and they sit them down to say, okay, cool, how is that idea? Because when you're going to your parents to tell them about that you found a girl or you found a boy or a man to marry you, the parents are going to sit you down. They do that analysis also. They do that valuation. It's the same thing. They look, okay, cool, which family? How is it boy?
What does he work? What does he do? Are they good people? Which side of the country are they from? They do that analysis and valuation to see that the candidate you are bringing their family is worth it. So they can mobilize resources and tell the world that you're going to get married, they should get assistance. I think we should do the same thing with these young people who have ideas and concept and the proposals that are dusting. We sit them down, we listen to them and assess their ideas and their concept and their proposal and arrive at that decision that can we mobilize resources for this particular young person? Can we mobilize ourselves as consumers to support their product or their service because it's a Namibian made? It's the same process. We just need to pause and look at it from a distance to understand it. Because in all years, in every time, Africa is just getting solution from somebody. Africa is just getting ideas of how to build their economy for somebody. If you look at the Western media, if you look at the Western delegates that are coming to Africa, to Namibia, they are literally just dictating and demanding, Namibia should do what? Namibia should do what? Namibia should look at what? Change your laws. But how come we are being told how to build our economy by somebody who doesn't live here, who doesn't understand our people and dynamics? But there are so many good examples of things that we are doing that we can actually emulate. As I said earlier, economics about models, economics about theories that can be tested, that can be modeled, that can be actually used in our economic building. And a wedding and a marriage celebration is one of them. It's a very classical example. It's a good model that we can emulate at the highest level. So beautiful, people. I want you to pause and just look at it and interrogate it at such a high level and start mimicking it at the economic level. So we need to pause and look at the certain models and certain theories or things that we are doing right and emulate or mimic in almost every sector. Because if you look in our models, if you look actually we don't have economic models ourselves. Every model that we use is just adopted from somewhere. We barely implement our own or do things our way. It's always benchmarking or looking at some best practices from somewhere. But what they don't tell us that many people who say best practices, it will never be a best practices if it was not tried in Africa, if it was not tried in the same environment, in the same population dynamics. So it's never a best practice that you have seen in Europe, that you've seen in Asia or in South America, North America. No. Because your population dynamics and your people are different, because the skill set is different, the social dynamics are different. So it's never a best practice. But whatever you observe in Kunene, whatever you observe in Kurenkuru, whatever you observe in the South, any practice that is working within Africa, within Botswana, is a best practice. Because we have almost the same social qualities and population dynamics and the cultural understanding. We have almost the same characteristics. So that's why we have to be careful when we are just mimicking whatever we see being done outside. And to be more considerate of what we see inside working. So it's what brought me to suggest that why don't we look at some of the things that we are doing at our cultural level, some of the things that we are doing in different regions, in villages, the constituency level, the collaboration and the synergies and the economic output and the value being derived from the collaboration or the preparation between these two people or three people. In our villages, we used to work together at the highest level. Yes, we got rid of so many things, but there is one thing that we still have that bring us together, that we put the resources in, that we put dedication and commitment on. And it's a wedding preparation. Preparing a kid to get married is one of the things that we still committed at. And I want us to take that commitment. Because we are trying to show love, because we do believe that these kids are becoming one person and go continue humanity, go have beautiful kids and things like that. Why don't we do the same thing for our economy? Because the economy is for everyone. When you are supporting entrepreneurs, when you are supporting product made in Namibia, we are ensuring prosperity for everyone, isn't it? When we are opening doors for interns, when we are offering, mentoring and training people, and becoming angel investors and creating a necessary environment at the municipality level, we are ensuring that this young one, that this one that are coming up with things, prosper, right? We are literally building an inclusive economy. And I think it's just that understanding that when we do this type of work together, when we mobilize ourselves in such a highest level like we do for weddings, it will materialize in a bride and a groom not to feel any pressure of their wedding, isn't it? Now imagine if we do the same thing for the entrepreneur, for the innovator, for the creative one, for the artist that are painting and that are whatever's. Imagine if we just mobilize ourselves at such a highest level like what we do for the groom and for the bride. Where they enjoy their wedding and they go to their honeymoon where their friends and their family came through for them. Almost paid for their weddings. And they start with a beautiful foundation of no debt. Because Kanjengo Broteka, Nakambale gave 500. Then Ponele gave 900. Kariko gave 700. While Nykop gave 900. So we gave them a foundation to start something that will propel them, that they will stand on their marriage, isn't it? Now imagine if we do this for every village kid who has a dream to go to school, to invent, to sell, to render a certain unique services of being a doctor, being a nurse. Imagine if we support that clinic of the doctor who created in our community. And we give him the support. We give him the village. I mean, the piece of land, we give him the electricity and the water. And we give him 2 years to say, until you recoup your capital, until you break even, then you can start leasing the land from the village, from the town council. But for now, perhaps just pay electricity. Just pay for the rubbish that we pick up. Just pay your employees well so they can pay taxes or so to us. There is a commitment that we have to do to ourselves, the foundation we provide, that to propel a marriage. It started from the preparation and what we give them. And it's the same thing when we are sending a kid in an economy. When they are graduating, when they're sending them to school. If they're not standing in any foundation, where will they go if every time they try to climb or build something, it collapses? And that is what many of us black kids are suffering. We have no foundation in terms of resources, in terms of support. Because our parents in our community, in our village, they only prepare people for marriage, but they do not prepare people for the economy. They are not committed to my dream to become a teacher. They're not committed to my dream to become an astronaut. They're not committed to my dream to be an entrepreneur. But if somebody announces that they want to get married, then everybody's scared. Everybody's so scared. Everybody's worried. Do you have what? Do you have what? They're asking you questions. They want to know if you're ready. They want to know if you have what. What type of assistant do you need? But when I announce that I want to start a company, I want to start a business, who comes to me? Who asks me questions? Who asks if I'm fine? Who asks me if I have the capital, the necessary capital? Who asks if I have a right partner in this company? Who guides me where to go? Who will hold my hand? Because when you're going in marriage, you even get some parent that's going to marry you or something like it. Yeah, it's a direct translation from Oshwambo. What if now I'm an entrepreneur? Who will assist me in my entrepreneurial journey? And it's supposed to be a mentor who leads. Because when you hear that I'm getting married, all of you come. Is Kanjangu even ready? Look at him. What will we do for him? I don't have a kettle. I don't have what. But Kanjangu now, Kanjangu want to start a business. Kanjangu want land. But now nobody's available to say, Kanjangu, there is land somewhere in Tintabase. There is land and it lies somewhere in somewhere in Omayake. Nobody's telling me such things. But as soon as I make an announcement that I want to get married, then the family want to know. Then the village want to know. Am I ready? Am I prepared? Do I have what it takes? We could use the same commitment and love that we give it to these two people when I get married, to that kid when I get ready for the economy, so they make it. Let us prepare or give them the foundation and the necessary support for them to penetrate the economy. How come we are preaching inclusivity so much at the highest level, but we are doing it the minimal? And I'm saying is that we can actually do it because we are doing it for strangers during weddings. When you hear that your friend has a wedding at their house, you give them something. Like, oh, you guys have a wedding. Okay, I'll see what I can do. You give them something, you prepare them something. Why don't you, when you hear that Kanjaga is starting something, Kanjaga is creating a product, why are you also not calling him that? Okay, cool, I'll give you something to support Kanjaga on his business journey. I think we can adopt the same approach. It's beautiful. And it's enabling, and it creates comfort, and it creates a beautiful foundation as they go on in their future. And as I'm saying, it's one of the most beautiful models. And it's actually complete, literally complete from resources to just support. It's just complete. And if we can adopt it and model it in such a way and mimic it in such a way to support our entrepreneurs and our young people, we're innovating and coming up with product, I think it will work. I think it will be beautiful. I think we will have so many entrepreneurs and so many innovators in our country. And isn't that what we need? People creating. Because employment is mostly created when something new is created. A new product, a new business, a new branch, a new service. They create new jobs. Now, what they create? They create, meaning new jobs being created. Something that exists already will not create so many jobs. No. But if I'm creating and assembling something new, I will create more jobs. And that is why I want us to support those people. And I want us to use the example of how we support weddings in Namibia, to use the same support or to use the same model in terms of support and in terms of commitment. And even the church comes in, you know that, right? The kids are prepared. They are taken to church to go be given whatever psychological support and other support. You know, the church comes in. The church comes in. Because these kids are taken to church and elders comes in and sit them down and ask them all the difficult questions and prepare them for life. Like, marriage is not easy. Marriage is what? Marriage is what? You know? Why don't we do the same thing for entrepreneurs? All those that are aspiring to be entrepreneurs, can we sit them down? Can we pray for them? Can we offer them psychological support? Because it's a difficult journey coming up with a product. Running a manufacturing company, running a company is one of the most difficult things. And remember, we want sustainability. We want businesses that are going to sustain themselves. We want a business that are going to grow. We want businesses that are not going to collapse in 2 years. We want such businesses that will exist for generations. It's beautiful, people. We can do better, man. We can adopt this model. And this model is even more important and more beautiful because it involves people. That, for me, that is the most basic thing Because our economy is not inclusive. Our economy is discriminatory. Our economy does not love the indigenous people, love the Namibian people, love the African people. No. Our laws are not amended by Namibian people. Our laws are amended by foreigners. Our laws are amended by the Europeans to find a way to penetrate our market. Not by Namibians. If you go to any ministry and you demand a law to be changed, nobody will accommodate you. Nobody will look at you. But if some people come who are considering themselves as come out foreign investors, they will have a meeting with our ministries. And they will get the necessary attention that they seek for any of whatever they want to be amended. And that's what I'm saying. If you look at the wedding, if you look at a marriage celebration in Oswambo for those who have attended them and who have studied the process, as long as the person is getting married, there's no discrimination. They get all the respect. They get all the love and all the commitment. And the funny thing is this. The most beautiful thing is this. You might not even like the person who's getting married or the girl who's being whatever or the boy, but you are supporting their father or their mother. So the love and the support and the commitment you are giving to their mother, that is why you are supporting them. Do you see that the support to the people who are getting married is actually endless? Because it's coming through different channels. The respect that in that house there is a wedding. So we got to make that wedding good as possible for our people. So we give a better foundation. And that's why I'm saying that this is the most beautiful model in our economic building, in our diversification strategy, in our restructuring, in our dream to make it more inclusive, and it for more, again, important for us to work together. That the restructuring and the rebuilding and the whatever, it cannot work if the commitment from every Namibian, from Luderte to Cape Mansour, to Betani, to Marindal, to Windhoek, to Walvis Bay and Opuo, if all these people in Kurunguru to Divundu and Katima are not working together to make one dream happen, and is to build an economy that allow every aspiring, every dream to come true, then it's not an economy. It's not an economy. In the village, when there is a wedding, any house at a wedding, the doors are open. The doors are open. Everyone can enter and everyone will eat. Who comes, they will get a peace. And that's the most beautiful thing. They get a peace. I was reading recently, Mr. Jock is saying that the economy is quite restrictive to graduate. Now, what type of economy is restricting people who are educated? What type of economy is that? You are saying it's inclusive. But you have people that are educated and the economy is still saying no. So then what type of enterprises are you building? What type of structure do you have in places? An economy that does not reward hard-working Namibian. What type of economy is that? No matter how hard you work and innovative you work in Namibia, you're not going to be rewarded. But an European person, an Asian person, anybody from Canada who come with money, who come with capital and skill, they are rewarded. And as I'm saying, let us take a step back and look at how the wedding in a village benefit the villages. How it is open to every villager. And how the family members of those that are getting married get together and make it happen. And we should reflect as family members. As a family member myself, I told my sister, my cousin last week after the wedding that I don't want her to be part of any group anymore. Any wedding group or any death group. Don't call me just to contribute when somebody dies or somebody is getting married. I'm not going to be embarrassed. No. But I want to be part of groups where we say, can we put money to take 3 kids or 4 kids to go to school? And I'm not just talking because I'm on air. I am a support of people. I don't like any kids suffering. I don't like any kids not going to school because it's not their fault. It's something that I don't like. I support people who are doing something. So I want to be part of those groups, family groups, that says we are mobilizing money and we are committing ourselves to build a ghetto in some way in Okuliangava to accommodate our kids, our family kids that are going to Windhoek to study. So beautiful people, the models are there and we can mimic them. We can look at them and we can simplify them. Because if you look at the old economics, if you look at the Cope-Douglas function, if you look at all the 3D theories, the absolute advantage and the comparative advantages and the whatever's, they were all, what is the right way? They were all improved. From Adam Smith to the current ways of doing trade, they were all being simplified. Globalization just came these years. But back then, trade was very restrictive. So why don't we look our own model inside and polish and simplify it? Beautiful people. We need to have this type of conversation. And because it's embarrassing when we're going to school or when we used to attend some economic presentation about for their thesis and things. If you look at the models the students are talking about, they are all European models. We are debating all these European models in our thesis and in our dissertation. Which one is better to build an economy? But nobody's approaching the local theories and the local models. That if we can model our economic structure, let us forget about mixed economy, whatever market approach. Let us look at how people used to do things at the community level. Let us look at how they built road. That railway to the north was built because people were mobilized. Most of the lakes that I have in the north, they were built by people who mobilized themselves. So you can see that we can achieve a high level of economic prosperity and infrastructures and innovation if we can just engage each other at the highest level and be more inclusive and take care of each other. Unlike now, we only take care of anybody who is not a Namibian. When you do not have an idea, when you have an idea in Namibia, nobody will listen to your idea. When you have a concept, a proposal, or looking for fun, no, everybody's running. And they want you to wear a suit, they want you to look a certain way, they want you to present in a certain way. But any person from anywhere regarding themselves as foreign investors, we open the door, we are listening to them. Because we have this mindset that solution can only come from outside. I gave you an example of this particular wedding that happened within Oswambo clan. And I say again, it's not a traditional wedding. Our traditional wedding is even more beautiful. I have attended it twice or three times. It's even more beautiful. It's beautiful. But there is this now novel, or to say modern wedding, yes, which also includes some traditional matters. And the whole process of organizing it's something that amazed me because I love it so much, of how these people come together to make this two people get married. And it takes such a long time from being introduced to the parent and the parent understanding and the parent agreeing and taking time to announce it. You know, so many steps in it. And I'm telling you that in all those steps, there is a village of people. There is a family member. There are family members. There are friends that are coming through for those groom and bride. Their friends are coming through. Their family members are coming through. Their village are coming through. Their companies are coming through. It's a collection of people making these two people get married. And I look at that process and I say, this is so good because everyone is coming for these people to materialize and to work out and to build a better foundation. Why do we do the same thing like this? Because this groom and maid are the Namibian kid. He's a Namibian kid. He's a Namibian entrepreneur. He's an Namibian innovator. Why don't everybody come through like this? Let the innovator and the entrepreneur be the groom and be the maid. maid or whatever. I don't know the word. So he offered them the support and rendered them the services that they require so they can prosper and have a better foundation. Why don't we do the same thing? So we can reach the same goal as this couple. Because a marriage with a good foundation, where you went to the church and the church advised you, you listened to the elders, you listened to your parents, your marriage lasts. That's what I'm hearing. Because you listen to the wisdom of those who know better. You have been supported by those who know better. Now imagine if our innovators and entrepreneurs can have access to those who have business and economic wisdom. They will have a better foundation. They will build better. So beautiful people, we need to look at this model. We need to look at the theory and that approach, and we can see if we can emulate it.
We love benchmarking so much, isn't it? If you go in most of the scheme that we have adopted here, we have benchmarked or borrowed them from somewhere. So that's what I'm saying. At this stage, I think we have looked enough outside for solutions, for better economic models. Why don't we look inside? I don't know why we undermine our cultural value and what we have achieved at the cultural level so many years ago, and some are still ongoing. That book, we didn't open it. There is so much wisdom there. And I'm saying this because those cultural practices, they were more inclusive. That is number one. So you want to struggle with inclusivity. Unlike the current economic model that we have adopted, those one, they were made to exclusively to exclude people, if that is some right English. Capitalism is literally saying that if you have nothing to offer in the eyes of us, we'll not include you. But people can offer so many things. People can offer so many things, but capitalism or free market say, no, we only want this, especially for a small economy like Namibia. Now, what will you offer and to whom? For bigger economy like South Africa and America, capitalism can work. Because the economy is so big, there is no way your idea will be rejected. But in a small economy like Namibia, we are offering so much, but nobody's listening to it because the economy is so small and it's in the hands of few people. And it does not operate on free market at all. There's no free market in Namibia. No, these are all controlled market. And it's not a conspiracy theory, no. All our sectors are controlled sectors. So there is no free market, or there's no free movement of capital or free movement of anything. No. Or free entrance. No. In case you are doubting me, that Quran just revealed that our telecommunication sector is monopolized at every level. Meaning there is no free entrance. Means there is no free market at all. So now imagine if you want to enter the telecommunication sector. Will you? You can't. So that's what I'm saying, that at this stage now is where we look at certain model with an understanding of our economic sector and our economic structure. If that we are to make it inclusive, that if I can't enter the telecommunication sector as a startup, that means the economy, you are not trying to be inclusive at all. And I'm appreciating the effort of Quran to a certain extent, to say that we have to open up, we have to make it more competitive, we have to allow more investment. And I'm also agreeing with that more investment doesn't mean foreign investment, guys. No, let them just allow more investment. There are people with investment in Namibia also. So we have to look at models that are a bit different, and especially the inclusivity component, Because that is where we are struggling, and we can do better, guys. We can do better. It's just that now the models or the theories or the suggestion or the book where we are reading, when it comes to inclusive economy or opening the economy to more Namibians, it cannot be another European book. It cannot be another American book. It cannot be another Asian book. We've been using them all our life. And so I'm going back to the root to say, even that marriage process I'm talking about, it is a white wedding, or it is a white influence in it, it is the church influence on it. The process, the whole process, we have domesticated it. I wish I can put it in a Swamba that when you are getting married, the process are all domesticated for the Swamba people. They are all cultural to a certain extent, except that yes, because you go to church, you are wearing a white dress, which is not as much. But yeah, people don't get married naked anymore. But the whole process, the photo sessions, the going to church, the going in the tree, the going at the whirlwind, the going at the parent, taking what is a process of commitment and capital deployment and the collaboration and working together. Something that we Namibian are not doing very well at the economic level. Beautiful people. Maybe we should study it. Maybe you economists, maybe you young economists going to school. Look at Namibian models that existed before. What page can we tear to use in the rebuilding and the restructuring of the Namibian economy? Is there another event in the Mbukusu tribe tradition, in the Namba tradition, that bring together more, that distribute resources better, that show commitment from many people? Is there another thing? Is there another thing, colleagues? So, I am ready, and I want everybody to be ready, that let us look among ourselves for solutions. We are not utilizing our brain to the fullest. We are not utilizing our culture and our differences and our ethnicity to build the economy that we want. There is so much wisdom in our ethnicity, in our differences, in our culture. And if we can just, whatever we are doing, whatever we practice, let us be inspired by the village where we come from and the constituents where we come from. And the loving and whatever the support that we used to give each other back then. If we can just go with that support to Windhoek or to Walvis Bay, where economic things are happening. Because I think whenever we leave the village, we leave every village thing home and go in the economy. And I think that is where everything gone wrong. Because I was also talking to my friend, and we were talking that because he can't swim, because he can't do what he like, blah, blah. And you come to a level like, okay. She say, let me just remain a village person. I say, it's good to have some of our village qualities and characters. Some of those values from our village or from our cultural background can actually assist us to propel within this economy. Because in this economy, there is no value. There is no love, there is no sharing, there is nothing. The model that you have adopted is about the rationality, is about the selfishness. The Westerners are saying it's a jungle out there, take care of yourself. But for those who grow up in the village, you don't go to hunt alone. No, it doesn't work. But if you look at the Western literature, they have this idiom, whatever, it's a jungle out there, you take care of yourself. Nyenye is all about you. But our economy is so cruel, we cannot go in such a way where one person gets 2 billion, tender 3 billion, tender 4, consistently, for consistent years. We will not achieve inclusivity. We will not build the industry. And especially if you are doing it and we are not measuring whether they are actually able to pull back in the economy in terms of establishing companies, in terms of establishing industries, then we are doing it wrong. In an economy that does not offer foundation to the young ones, they throw them in a den. And that's what I'm saying. The wedding model
about that I've seen within the Oswambo people can be a model that can we can use to restructure our economy and to make it more inclusive and to support our entrepreneurs. Because they need a better foundation. They are the newlyweds, or they are just getting married. So they need all our support to prepare them, to mentor them, to offer them whatever we can offer them so they go build their home. These innovators, they have no incubation center. These innovators have no free internet. These innovators have no equipments and tools to build the prototype. But when I look at the model of a wedding, anybody who announces that they want to get married, they get this type of support. Their friend is saying, "Hi, Andy Kutomen." The auntie is saying, "No, I'll bring you mahangu." The other uncle is saying that, "No, come and get a goat here." So everyone is bringing something to prepare them for their future. And I suggest and I hypothesize to say, whenever we hear that Kariko, Nangula, or Naikob, or Nyerere, whoever, is getting into business, is creating a product, let us throw things to them like that. "Oh, my bro, I'll buy you superpower every month. How far are you now with your project?" "Okay, cool. What do you need, man? I don't have so much, but I can give you internet. Or I can give you 200 for beer whenever you want to rest. As long as you finish that product. As long as that prototype come to life." Why don't we do that? Because it's the same support we give to those who want to get married. And they end up actually having a better foundation, their marriage, going even to honeymoon because we came through for them. I want us to apply the same methodology, the same mindset to the young entrepreneurs that are entering the industry, to the innovators, to the creative spaces that are creating beautiful music and beautiful product for us, to those that want to build, to those that want to employ. When we hear them, municipality is supposed actually to have town hall meeting every month to listen to entrepreneurs, to listen to their ideas. Then they can pick a 3 or 4 to say, "Okay, your idea has potential to employ more people in Windhoek. Send it to us. Let us look at how we can assist you, especially with land." Instead of me applying to the municipality, instead of me as an entrepreneur begging the municipality to give me land, that is so backward. Is the municipality supposed to be looking for entrepreneurs and innovators? Because they have problems. They have unemployment problems. But if you assist entrepreneurs, they will create the jobs. So let us do it in such a format of a wedding. Whenever we hear our family members or our sister, cousin getting married, the friends, we render voluntary services to them. We commit capital and resources to them. We put on leave to go witness them getting married. Let us do the same thing for entrepreneurs and innovators and creators and industry builders. It's the only way we will build a better economy. So, colleagues, that was my theory for today. That was my suggestion. It's based on some observation I've been making on weddings. And this time I was sitting very far. And I was able to see how people from all corner of my village came just to witness and eat and participate. And I've also been involved in a process where we're putting 200 and 300 together just for this wedding to happen. So that's when I realized that if we can adopt the same model for our young people who are going to school, for our young people who want to start a business, for our young people who are creating product or coming up with a new service, I think they will achieve the same prosperity as the newlyweds. With that, colleagues, my name is Kanjeko Kamekulu Kwanyoka, and this was our business and economic segment. And this is a space that you can also use. Instead of me giving a lecture, you can also buy the 30 minutes and we can talk about your product.
You can talk to our audience about your product or your services, and we will work with your budget and give you extra 30 minutes if you buy the other 30 minutes. Thank you so much for choosing us, whether you are listening to us via our website or through the app or through the traditional route of stereo. Thank you so much for choosing us. The main aim is to facilitate economic conversation and to build a knowledgeable economy. And with that, have a very good night.